Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. So what day is it? August 25th. Can you believe that? School's back in session. Labor Day is next weekend. I mean, where did the summer go? The end is near. And so we're going to talk about that a little today. Both the end in general, but also the end of our summer, or the end of our summer sermon series, the parables of Jesus. That's what we've been doing all summer, learning from the master preacher himself. And next week is going to be our final week of that sermon series, and we're going to talk about the parable of the prodigal son. A great fitting end to parables of grace, because it's, in my opinion, the parable that exemplifies God's grace most perfectly. But this week, the week before the end, we're going to actually talk about the end. This parable, the parable of the talents, that's what it's about. It's about the last day, the day when Jesus will return. So let's get into it. Now, a little background before we jump into the text of this parable. This parable is in Matthew chapter 25. The chapter before, Matthew chapter 24, Jesus' disciples ask him a simple question with a not-so-simple answer. They ask him, what are the signs of the end times, and what will it be like? And Jesus, he tells them. He tells them about the signs of his coming. He tells them about the abomination of desolation. He tells them the lesson of the fig tree. He tells them that no one knows the day or the hour. It's a dense, heavy, hard-to-understand chapter. And knowing what we know about the disciples, they probably didn't get it the first time through. So Jesus, in chapter 25, does what he does best. He explains things to us on our level in parables. So in Matthew 25, there are three parables in a row all about the last day. First, you've got the parable we talked about last week, the parable of the 10 virgins. Then this parable, the parable of the talents. And lastly, the parable of the sheep and the goats. Now these three parables, they're Jesus explaining what that last day will be like, what our interaction with him will be like. But more than that, it's not just what we should expect on that last day. It's what should you be concerned with until that last day? What should you be doing? And basically, these three parables, if you're going to sum them up in one catchphrase each, the parable of the 10 virgins is, don't miss the party. The parable of the talents is, don't waste the wait. And the parable of the sheep and the goats is, don't forget about the needy. That's the parable where Jesus says, whatever you did for the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me. So we're talking about God's grace. If you want to tagline them with God's grace, it's depend on God's grace, declare God's grace, demonstrate God's grace. Depend on it, declare it, and demonstrate it. Those are the things that Jesus is saying we need to be concerned with while waiting for him to return. So let's talk about God's grace in this parable. I kind of summed it up for you already. Don't waste the wait, but instead, while you're waiting for him to return, declare his grace to all people. But there's so much more in this parable for us to see, for us to learn, for us to take away from it. Let's start it off. Verse 14, Jesus starts by saying, for it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted to them his property. Now, for it, like we already said, it's the end times. Jesus is basically saying, for that last day will be like. Okay? And now he's going and he's saying, a man who left his property with his servants. If you didn't already pick it up, that man is Jesus, that master is Jesus, and his servants, that's us. And now here's the key of this first verse. He entrusted to them his property. That's what God has done with us. He has left us with gifts and talents, treasures, but really, they're not ours, they're his. We are simply stewards who are called to be good stewards of those gifts, take care of them and use them until he returns. That's very important for us to recognize. So next verse, how he divvied up his treasures. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to each according to his ability, and then he went away. Now this verse is interesting. This verse is hard for us as humans. It sets off our fairness radar. It says that Jesus gave them different amounts, each according to their own ability. Now, we don't like hearing that. We don't like hearing that someone gets something that I don't get. But you see, fairness, not really a biblical principle. Instead, fairness is a very human idea. Us being concerned with what other people have, us being concerned with what I don't have and why I can't do this because of that, us being concerned with maybe what I have that someone else doesn't have and how I deserve that and they don't. And you see, this comparison game, it cripples us. It cripples us, especially when it comes to being good stewards of God's gifts, when it comes to serving Him. When I look at someone else and feel superior, I might say, you know what, I've done enough. Or maybe they need to pick up their end of the slack. It's not me. Or when I look at someone else and see something that they have that I don't, I might say, you know what, that's not fair. And this is the reason why I can't do this, why I can't live up to God's calling for me in this area of my life. This comparison game, it cripples us. We could be these servants and look at what was given to us and say, that's not fair, or I deserve this 5, and it could cripple our ability to be good stewards. But rather, we are called to be saying, here's the gifts God gave me. They are tremendous gifts. Now, how can I use them for Him? You see, here's the cool part about this parable, the part we often miss. Often we get caught up seeing that they all got different amounts. Sometimes we look at that man who only got 1 and feel sorry for him or think, what's wrong with him? But instead, we should be looking at the tremendous amount even he got. You know, if you're actually looking at what Jesus is talking about, a talent, we use it now in our English as a gift or ability, but that's because we took this parable and made it mean that. A talent in Jesus' day was a weight of precious metal. And a talent was, let me get this right, 7,300 denarii, which was a day's wage. So if you do a little bit of math, based on today's wages, the 1 talent's $1 million. And that's if it's a silver talent. If it was a gold talent, you're looking at $30 million or more. So here's the thing. This man who only got 1 talent, he was still blessed tremendously, given a great gift with which he could do many things with. Instead of getting caught up looking at what someone else has, look at what great things God has given us for His purpose in our lives. He has entrusted us with it to use it wisely. So, what did these men do with their 5, 2, and 1 talents? Well, first, he who had received the 5 talents went at once and traded with them, and he made 5 talents more. So also, he who had the 2 talents made 2 talents more. But he who had received the 1 talent went and dug in the ground and hid his master's money. 3 men, 2 options. Use it for His glory, use it and invest it, or bury it in the ground. And these are our 2 options for the gifts and talents God has given us, the treasures He has given us. We can use them for His glory, or we can hide them away out of fear of not being able to use them properly, or out of selfishness, wanting to keep them for ourselves. We can keep them from doing the things He calls us to do with them, or we can use them. It's one of 2 options as we wait for His return. And now here's where in the story we get to that return, where the master finally returns, where Jesus returns and settles accounts with His servants. First, that 5-talent servant. Now after a long time, the master of those servants came and settled accounts with them. And he who had received the 5 talents came forward, bringing 5 talents more, saying, Master, you delivered to me 5 talents. So here, I have made 5 talents more. And his master said to him, Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. Now, a couple things here. First, and I think very important to see first, is what that servant says at the beginning of this interaction. First, he says, Master, you delivered to me 5 talents. His first move is thanks. Thanking his master for even giving him this opportunity. His first move is recognizing that everything he had was his master's in the first place. And then he gives it all to his master. He doesn't keep anything for himself. He doesn't demand a percentage or a commission. He knew the whole time who he was serving and what he was doing it for. He was earning his master's interest. He was working for his kingdom and for his purposes. Because of that, you hear this great, powerful response from the master. Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. Now, here's the coolest part of this whole parable. The reward, it's not some percentage of these measly earthly things we can earn. The reward is not anything we can earn and divvy up on earth. It's nothing. Even though those 10 talents were $10 million or more, the reward is much greater than that. The reward is not something we can earn on earth. The reward is entering into the master's joy, being welcomed with him, and entering into what he earned, the thing we could never earn, eternal life in paradise with him. And that's what we're waiting for. We are waiting to be welcomed into Jesus' presence, his joy, what he did for us. Now, second servant. And he also, who had two talents, came forward, saying, "Master, you delivered to me two talents. Here, I have made two talents more." His master said to him, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master." Pretty much the exact same interaction as before, but Jesus gives us both. And I think there's a good reason for that. I think there's a reason he gives us two faithful servants, because they were gifted differently. They had a different return, but the reward was the same. You see, the reward is not a product of fruitfulness. The reward is a product of faithfulness. Both men were faithful. Both men served the master. Both men entered into his joy. Now, got that third servant who did it differently. He also, who had received the one talent, came forward, saying, "Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you scattered no seed. So I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here, you have what is yours." But his master answered him, "You wicked and slothful servant, you knew that I reap where I do not sow and gather where I scattered no seed. Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and at my coming I should have received what was my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to the one who has 10. For to everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken. And cast that worthless servant into the outer darkness, in a place where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." This is hard. This is the hard part of end times, the hard part of Christ's return and his judgment. There will be some who are cast out. Now, the things we need to see here. The servant's excuse. His first excuse is to blame the master. His first excuse is to blame this master for his characteristics that made it not possible for him to be faithful. And we do this sometimes. We sometimes blame God, who he is, what he calls us to do, what he's given us. We make him the scapegoat for us not being able to answer his calling. But the faithful response is not putting it on the Creator who has gifted us with so much. But then eventually the real reason does come out. He says, "I was afraid. I was afraid that I would fail. I was afraid that I couldn't do this, so I hid it in the ground." And Jesus tells us this is what end times will be like, that some will enter the master's joy and some will not. Now, I think what's really important with this third servant is knowing why he was cast out. It can seem like he was cast out because he didn't earn any interest. He was not fruitful. And yeah, that's true, but that's not the reason he was cast out. He was cast out because he did not have faith. He didn't trust in the master. He didn't follow him. He didn't listen to him and trust that he could do what the master had asked. He was cast out for a lack of faith. This parable is a story of faithfulness versus a lack of faith. So, what's Jesus teaching us here? Well, I told you the quick tagline: don't waste the wait. Instead, declare God's grace. We are God's servants. We all have talents. We all have gifts, unique gifts. And they're given in different amounts and different ways, but we still have them, and they are for his purposes. But so often we are like this third servant. So often this is us. We find an excuse why we can't. We find a reason why we don't have enough. We often let the comparison game cripple us. We often let fear cripple us. We often let our own selfishness cripple us. This is our natural tendency. Our natural state of being is this third servant, the one who hid it in the ground and wasted it. That is our natural state of being. But that's where Jesus comes in. You see, in this parable, it may seem like the fruitful servants were saved and the unfruitful one was not. And that's true. But the reason they were saved was not because of their fruitfulness. It was because of their faith. Faith is the key. The key is faith in the Master, faith in Jesus, faith in what he did for them and in his ability to continue to work through them. Two of these men had faith. One did not. It wasn't about whether or not their investment paid off. It was the faith to make that investment, to trust their Master, to trust in Jesus Christ. That's the key. It will always be the key to being ready for that last day. Do you trust in Jesus or do you not? And it's mostly trust that he's taken care of everything, that he's taken care of your sin, that he paid the price on that cross. That is the most important part of that trust, trusting that he has done everything necessary for your salvation. But also, like in this parable, it's trust in the fact that he has given you the things you need to do his work while you wait. Trust that whether that you think you're a one-talent person or a five-talent person, that God can and will use you in those unique gifts you have given him. And this, it's a response. We're not earning anything by what we do. It's a response to what he already did for us. And that's why Paul puts it this way in Romans chapter 12. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, by what he did for us on that cross, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function. Different gifts, different talents, different amounts, but all the same body, all the same purpose. It's all a response to what he did for us, a response to the fact that he gave us these gifts in the first place. They're his. We are just taking care of them and using them for him. And they were given to us for a purpose, for his purpose, a unique purpose in each of our lives, joined for one great common purpose, to depend on his grace, to declare his grace, to demonstrate his grace to all the world. And you know, as I think about these talents and how we are given different talents and different amounts and different ways, you got to wonder when you think about verse 15, who are those five talent people in our life? I know we all know someone who you consider that a tremendously gifted person who is using those gifts for God. But here's one I think we can probably all agree on. The late Billy Graham. He did a lot for the Lord. Preached to over 200 million people in 185 countries. Wrote 33 books. Certainly a five-talent person who returned five talents as well. But here's the best part about Billy Graham. And it can be summed up in one story towards the end of his life. He was asked, Billy, if you could preach one last sermon, if you only had one sermon left to preach, what text would you preach on? And Billy Graham said, Galatians 6:14, which is this, but far be it for me to boast, except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's a man who understood it. He knew that all his gifts were from God, that he was simply a steward, and his work was to serve him and give back. He would boast in nothing but Jesus Christ, nothing but what he did for him on that cross, because none of the other gifts, none of the other things he did mattered if Jesus didn't die for him and for those he was declaring God's grace to. So to you today, be willing to take that risk. Be willing to make that investment. God has gifted you with talents, gifts, treasures, whatever it may be, and they're for his purpose, for his use. And he has the power to guide you and use you. Let us be faithful servants. And because of what he did for us on that cross, we don't need to be afraid of that last day. We don't need to be afraid of that end time interaction with Jesus Christ. Because of what he did for us on that cross, because of the fact we depend on that grace, we're going to hear the same words that King David heard, the same words that St. Paul heard, the same words that Billy Graham heard. Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter now into my joy. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto that final day. Amen. Please rise.